Hello and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. I'm Carl.
And I'm Alex. Hello.
And this week, we watched an Australian movie called Necrotronic. It's like a spooky sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it's like if Pokemon Go was run by demons.
See, it's really weird that like they bring up Pokemon Go and how this app is basically Pokemon Go.
They skirt around the whole Pokemon Go.
They try and avoid saying Pokemon, instead say those weird monsters.
Yeah.
But like, I have to ask, so Pokemon Go only is so popular because it's Pokemon. Everyone loves Pokemon. What's this app doing so right that millions of people are going, ooh, I gotta get this weird Australian one?
Demons.
It's all demons, baby.
It's all demons.
Demons are so addictive.
It gives you a free copy of Untitled Goose Game.
Oh, it's the same dev? Cool.
I download that shit.
Here's a sweet Steam code for Untitled Goose Game. Fuck yes.
Yeah. The game is rad. I recommend it.
Oh?
Yeah.
I've only heard good things.
You get to steal a man's shoes.
Sold.
Yeah, you make a boy trip over, and then you lock him inside a phone booth.
I made a kid cry, best day of my life.
And then I made him buy back his own toys.
Best day ever.
Yeah, it's
good God.
Untitled Goose Game is quite amusing. But anyway, we're not here to discuss that game.
Amusing is Necrotronic?
Quite. I actually really enjoyed this film.
Okay. I think you liked it more than I did.
Yeah, it's like the right, like to me it's like the right amounts of like dumb and camp. Mm-hmm. Like that weird, it's got this really good neon aesthetic.
I like the way this looks.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah, the production design, the lighting, the film quality and the way it's shot, all is good. Like, all of that, honestly, a lot of good stuff is in this. It's got, like, good, like, it looks like money, even though it's a, like, kind of indie, Aussie, like, film, it's actually really well done. Like, it looks like a high-budget movie with a lot of good CG elements, a lot of,
But, like, the CG elements even are, like, really, I like them because they're minimalistic. It's to an extent.
They get a lot of mileage out of them.
Yeah, it's not like the bloody, like, rendering entire characters.
Yeah.
They're effects, and I really enjoyed those.
Yeah.
Like, they do them well.
Fair.
It's not like, you see a lot of these, like, grade of film, and they've got, like, entire characters made out of CG, or, you know, and or, like, the CG is just some dude photoshopping something.
You shouldn't have a character that's entirely CG in a movie of this budget, I'd imagine.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Idea. Like, some of them do, though, but this one didn't try to do it.
Unless you're Disney or James Cameron, just don't do it.
Even if you're Disney or James Cameron, looking at
they've got the money for it.
I'm looking at you, Grand Moff Tarkin from Rogue One. That was weird. That was Uncanny Valley.
But they've got like CG characters in like Avatar looked good. Those ones still hold up.
Yeah, but Avatar looks good because everything in that world is CG.
Yeah, but also like
Iron Man.
If you look at Avengers, like Endgame and Infinity War, Thanos is entirely CG. The Hulk's entirely CG.
Yeah.
And they blend into the rest of them perfectly.
Yeah, because that world is mostly CG. Have you seen the sets?
It's one thing they stand on and then a green building.
But then it's just green as far as the eye can see.
But like, it's not like it's an animated movie. They still, like everything looks fitting and realistic, you know?
I'm not saying that, but like in Avatar, if you watch them interact between like Sigourney Weaver, it's like in a human form, and the Na'vi, it looks really weird.
Okay. It's been a long time since I watched Avatar.
That doesn't quite hold up.
Okay.
It looks a bit jarring.
Avatar 2 through 5 will hold up forever. They've learned.
But you know, the CG effects are mostly like lighting and there's a lot of practical in this.
Oh yeah, yeah. Big time.
I always love to see practical.
Oh, it's always good to see, like, especially with like the set they have constructed.
Yeah.
You can see a lot of those elements, and I was just pointing out like the big machine they've got that spits out demons.
Plasmas.
The
plasma gun, it's made out of washing machines.
Yeah, it's got like a washing machine drum. The seats are just car seats on milk crates that you pointed out.
Yeah, I think that's like a deliberate set choice and I love it.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one I love is that all the necroboxes
necropods?
Necropods. I was looking at them going, oh, they look really familiar. And then I realized they're just like Alienware computers that they've slapped a different like side on or like added stuff to the side.
I thought they'd be a lot heavier. And I thought that like I thought they looked like they had a lot of weight to them and would be like, you know, full of shit. Yeah, until she's carrying it around and it just has like plastic sound effects to her carrying it around.
Yeah.
It just sounds really light.
I mean, there's only a dude's head in it.
Yeah, I mean, a head's heavy? I don't know. I haven't held a human head before.
Well, one way to find out, Carl.
Get the saw. I need you to slap on that head of Vecna for me.
Yeah, well, I'll get the saw out, don't worry.
Get the bone saw.
No bone saw.
What's Monica Bellucci been in recently? She's like the most star power person. Inspector. She might have been.
I'm pretty sure she was Inspector. She's actually like an act, like not just a random Australian they've picked up after doing like a few episodes of a soap.
Yeah,
she's Ben O'Toole probably... and Love Child.
I don't know if I've actually seen Ben O'Toole in anything before. I must have.
He was in Love Child for a few episodes.
I haven't ever watched Love Child.
She
was Inspector. That's right.
Yeah, so Monica Bellucci does an amazing job, though.
I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of her accent, though. It just seems... It just comes across a bit weird to me.
Like, why? Because everyone's talking in this, like, true blue ochre accent.
Exactly. It just stands out a lot where she's just... I don't know.
And then she's Italian.
Exactly. It's jarring.
Just racist.
It's jarring to me where everyone is like, exactly. They speak like me. They speak like the people around me. They're all Aussies. And then she comes in. It's just, come on, give mother. I'm like, I didn't mind it.
I liked it because it, like, otherwise, if everyone's just like, it's a good change from like the, oh, mate, you want to, I'm going to glass you.
Or
give mummy a kiss.
Or your Kiwi ghost friend.
Hey, bro.
One person from New Zealand in this entire movie, and they turn him into a ghost.
With my phone.
Hey, man, I don't even have my phone on me.
It's like, what are you watching? Oh, it's a donkey having sex with a phone box.
Did you have sex with a phone box?
Why are you watching?
You want to watch? No. Which I love when he turns it around. It looks like this crappy, like...
CG?
Yeah, like this crappy, like, Photoshop, like, or Flash effect movie they've put together specifically for this.
I just love the fact that they did.
Yeah. You gotta appreciate
that much. I'm just impressed. Like, you can still clearly see a donkey trying to have sex with a phone booth.
Yeah, it's, like, very clear. It's not, like, an actual video.
No.
Yeah, it's not, like, a YouTube clip, but it's something.
Yeah, like, for what it is, I'm like, oh, this is...
When he brought that up, I was half thinking, like, is that a viral video I've missed? Is this one is this one I just haven't seen? Like, I've seen the monkey bone a frog, but I've never seen the donkey try to have sex with the phone box.
Yeah, this film, like, I hadn't you'd started watching it before I did.
Yeah.
And you messaged me, like, they explain the entire concept of the film in the first 30 seconds. I was like, surely
so
not.
So I thought.
And then I watched, and I was like, oh, that's the entire, base concept I need to know for the first 30 seconds of the film.
Yeah, which is done in, like, this sort of animated, this 2D animated sequence. I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
there's
no, I really...
There's a lot of color in it.
Yeah, there's a lot of color. It's like, really simple. And it shows that... It's like... They've got rocks, and then they move to knives, and then they move to swords, and then they move to guns, and then they're talking
then
about laser weapons.
Then they've got future sci-fi guns.
Yeah, and it's like, cool, this is like really simple to show that it's progressed, it's still going on. It's not like, you know...
It's a battle of the ages that's been going on since the dawn of man and demon.
Yeah, so are demons man-made, or...
Fucked if I know. It seems like they're more like some occult thing, like they're from hell or whatever and were summoned by humans into the
mortal realm. By
accident
to begin with, and then they're like, all right, we got demons now.
But I mean, if you have, if you stumble across demons, maybe demons good, you know, like kind of thing? Like, can you turn you've played Doom, haven't you? Or you know
what
I'm about
Doom? Just too angry to die.
Yeah, because the whole plot about Doom, if unlike the protagonist of that game, you actually care about like the backstory going on there, is they basically use the realm of hell on Mars, like they use the Hellgate on Mars to turn hell energy into unlimited power for humans. Like you just tap into this alternate dimension and siphon out all their energy. So I'm imagining if demons were if demons were actually discovered, we would be trying to do that. We'd be like, how can we mine hell for resources and energy?
Get that uranium, dude.
I don't know if What do you think they'd be to get from hell? Would it be uranium?
Nah, it's actually just a lot of potassium. That's why it's always on fire.
It's just more coal.
Australian politicians are like, ha ha, we told you.
Scott Morrison sweats profusely.
I've never been to hell.
How good is coal?
No, man, you just put some water in there, get a wind turbine, and you got renewable energy from hell.
God damn it.
Although, it's one of those ones where if you argue that, like, if you go with the Inferno and there's 9 realms levels to hell, the bottom one's cold.
Yeah,
it's ice. The devil is iced over.
That is true.
That's how it works.
All true statements, yes.
That's where we'd get to the top bit and get all that hot air.
Yeah, you got to work your turbines. Levels up. You got you go across through the passage of Helenoid to get that unlimited energy. It's exactly the plot of Dante's Inferno, right? Yeah. He goes up to eventually siphon their oil.
Yeah. America invades for some reason.
Woot. they heard y'all got oil. Bringing it back to Necrotronic.
Yes, let's do it.
Good God. I feel like a lot of the jokes fell a bit flat, though.
I don't know. I quite enjoyed it.
Like, there were some good lines, but overall I was like, was that supposed to be funny? I didn't.
It's that weird mix of, like, funny and, like, it's that weird mix of comedy, gore that I don't know always lands.
Yeah.
I thought it did personally. I thought, like, most of it was, like, pretty solid.
Mm.
I was actually, like, I was really invested in watching it when I was watching it, so.
Fair. That's good. It's certainly a good sign.
Yeah.
I do want to say one of the points where I was most one of the points where I found the funniest was, what was her name? Torkel.
Yeah.
Just when her fucking head explodes just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Dude! What the fuck? As soon as that happened, I was sitting in my living room going, holy fuck!
Yep. Boom.
Just, oh no, get her back.
just a casual head explosion.
Painted across the wall of the van. I was honestly, when what's her face? Finnegan rips her head off.
Yeah.
I was half expecting them to stick her head back onto her old body.
Staple that on.
Yeah, that's really what I was expecting. I was like, well, it's back there somewhere with a sheet on it.
I mean, like, does that mean her, like, head is conscious of it by itself?
It must be. I don't know how she, like...
Who gave her the first staple?
I don't know how she got her head back on, because we don't see her body stumble over and pick it up and put it on. We just see them get thrown in opposite directions. Next time we see her, the fight's over and she's, like, already putting in the last staple.
Yeah.
So did she spend that entire fight stapling her head back on?
Did she spend the entire fight on the ground because she's, like, headless?
or did she spend the entire time, like, with her body... walking over, picking up her head, putting it back on and stapling it back on like that guy from Pirates of the Caribbean.
We'll never know.
Could she not have helped in any way? Also, what was the friend's name?
Luther.
No.
Rangi?
Yeah, Rangi, that's it. I really feel like having a ghost friend, he should have been more help towards the end.
Yeah, he just fucked off.
Exactly. He's like, oh, you're summoning a demon in here? I'm just going to go fuck off for a bit. I'll come back when it's over.
Oh, did I miss something?
Did I miss something? Oh, shit, you killed your mom. Like, he was kind of some help against another ghost. And then he kind of, like, grabbed a few dudes towards the end, but he never actually, like...
It was comedic relief.
I was really hoping he'd have some big moment. Like, he'd have a heroic bit in that, but he didn't really get his big moment.
Everyone had their big moment except Rangi.
Yeah, he just kind of fucked around for a bit and fucked up the plan, and that was about it.
Yeah. God damn it, Rangi.
Could have helped, didn't. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, overall, like, yeah, you got... Most of the characters did have their moment, like...
Yeah.
Howard had his at the end.
Hmm.
So did Molly. Torkel had hers, like, when she tried to blow herself up.
Tried, succeeded, fucking...
And when she blew herself up and then got...
Self-spectral nuke? I don't know how that works, but okay.
I don't get how she came back again, though.
They had a... Yeah, okay, the second time, that's right. demon power. I ain't got to explain shit.
Yeah, I mean, the mother came holding a hostage.
That's the part that you can't suspend disbelief for of all of this movie. That's the one part where you can't believe.
That's the one part.
Where they throw in that final sequence at the end for drama, and that's where you go, but how, though?
Exactly. That's the only bit I suspect. I can't do it.
It's not the fact that necromancers are like a line of people who are born and not like something you can train and also have superpowers of telekinesis. I think that's it.
It's 30 seconds that they have magic. They just say magic. It's the MacGuffin.
It's magic. I ain't got to explain shit.
It's the Deus Ex Machina. It's magic. It's like, how did Harry Potter kill Voldemort? Magic. There's no real explanation. That doesn't work out.
I was really hoping, I was just expecting more of a sci-fi bent to that, and it's just, he's got TK magic.
It's like the plot of Looper.
Yeah, I also have beef with Looper. I have several problems with Looper, but...
Let's get into those later.
We can talk about that another time.
They've got magic, and, like, the thing about it is that most of it, like, stays within the realm of, like, a little bit of soul manipulation here and there.
Yeah.
Like, and they have clearly, this is what this machine does.
Mm.
Like, a little bit of telekinesis, but not a whole heap. Like...
I mean, that's what everyone else is using their magic for. Like, everyone but Howard and the soul sucking demons are using that magic power to throw stuff around, push things, pull things.
Finnegan, before she turned into a demon lady, was able to do shit like that, though.
Yeah, she was.
She was especially powerful.
She was able to exorcise demons with her bare hands.
Yeah, like she was powerful enough, and like they're like, you son of two powerful necromancers.
Yeah,
you could do the same.
You're super cool, dude. I know that kind of stuff always trips me up when that, like, the fact that it wasn't enough for them to have like a plot about, you know, once your plot's already complex enough, where you're throwing in all this new concept and this new world order of stuff like demons, necromancers, that like that kind of mentality, then the idea that you can transfer them through the internet. Once you get to that twist of you can transfer them into the internet, I felt like that was enough to hold up in a movie on its own. But then the part where they start throwing in, like, magic and this plot about, like, you're the child of two necromancers of, like, great power who are dead now, and that's why you're a foster kid. Like, I don't know, it just kind of felt like too many layers. And then there was so much extra stuff of, like, world shaking in this world where they're like, oh my god, the necropods are this thing we've never seen before, where they're being used to siphon ghosts and put soul, like, human souls into this one person to make them more powerful. And I'm just sitting there like, I was expecting demons to be transferred through the internet more, but that doesn't happen as much as I was expecting.
It is the internet still.
Yeah, I know. I was just really expecting them to lean on that plot of you can now demons can be transferred through the internet more. I was really expecting that to be lent on a bit more than it was.
What would you expect? Just someone to open up Facebook,
like
and
some
sort of demon,
exactly, like some sort of cyber warfare with demons. Like they exercise one demon at one point by him jamming a demon into a landline. I was hoping for like more stuff like that, like more of an internet-y, like sci-fi approach to it.
You're right,
but instead it became a bit more mystical.
Yeah, I mean, like it was already always about the magic.
Yeah,
they say it from the get-go.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it did it quite well.
I was really just hoping for like a sort of sci-fi demon approach.
Yeah,
you know, but there wasn't as much of that.
No, there was less sci-fi demon, more like
and they kind of like
sci-fi aesthetic, but mystical.
Yeah, I was also expecting them to have like a bit of a like, you know, hey kids, you know, all this time you're spending on your phones is time wasted type like mentality, but they never took that approach.
No,
they're just
but
like,
I'm glad that they didn't.
I know.
I hate
really,
that approach.
I do. I agree with you. I was just really waiting for the moment when they'd be like, everyone, get off your phones. Stop playing like Howard has that mentality for 2 seconds at the opening, and that's it. After that, they're like, phones are cool. Games are dope.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one of those ones where, like, if you have that mentality, it just becomes preachy.
Oh, I was totally expecting it. And then Howard went preachy for 6 seconds and then got told to shut the fuck up. Like, he just says, hey, let's have a conversation face-to-face with our mouths. And then Rangi just looks at him and goes, all right, let's have a conversation. Go on, make conversation with your mouth. And he just stares in silence and doesn't know what to say.
Yeah.
There was a point of conversation earlier by looking at this video of a donkey trying to have sex with a phone box, and then you blew it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that mystical stuff anyway, so I didn't feel like it was excessive, like, in the terms of adding different things in.
Yeah.
Because they kept pointing out the fact that they were decapitating necromancers, and they were like, why the fuck are we doing this?
Mm.
What? And it's like, and if you work in the fact that, like, necromancers are able to manipulate souls,
yeah,
like, as, like, their base ability, it makes sense that you'd use a necromancer head in order to fuel a necropod, because they're able, like, their innate magic is able to, like, move the pot, move it and connect it.
Mm. You got really invested in this, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate really that. This film.
Yeah, you got into this way more than you got into Father's Day.
Oh, Father's Day, oh.
Whereas I was super, well, yeah, I was invested. I don't want to say super invested, because that would paint me as a weird person. But you know, I was into Father's Day for a bit.
You are a weird person, Carl.
Well, yeah, we know that, but we don't want to say it. I'm here, aren't I?
Yeah, but no, I really got invested in this one, mostly because it's. Like, you kept talking about the plot being, like, overcomplicated, but I thought it was still, like, relatively straightforward. It was a really cliche plot.
I know, but a lot of the time they just seem to be, like, tacking on another thing where it's like, this, like, it was kind of, oh, God, what am I thinking? It was kind of like, recently I started watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, because people have been trying to get me to watch it for ages.
Okay.
And one of my complaints about it was, every time there's a fight, they make up something new. Like, especially in the first and second seasons, every time any kind of conflict occurs, all of the rules of how, like, the superpowers in that world changes, where it's just, aha, my powers, like, my Hamon energy go, like, is more conductive underwater where I can't breathe, or, it can go through walls, but it can't travel through this. Metal is superconductive. Oh, but this kind of stuff isn't. His scarf is made of beetles, which are ultraconductive. It just doesn't, like, every time anyone fights anybody, they start going, aha, you can't beat me because I have this. Well, I can beat you because of this. And it's just,
Have you ever watched anime before, Major?
I know, but this kept reminding me of that, where they're just like, now we do this. And it just kept throwing in, like, weird stuff into the mix, where I'm like, I thought I knew the rules, but now it doesn't make any sense to me.
You ever heard of Blue Super Saiyan God? They're doing the same with DBZ, my dude.
Oh, God.
They were always doing the same with DBZ.
That's the problem with DBZ. When you cap out, you have to eventually go, well, how do you beat the guy who's capped out? Well, you have to go beyond that.
Yeah,
you have to keep scaling it up.
First they can teach Gohan the Kaioken, then it's the Kaioken 20, then he goes Super Saiyan, then Gohan goes Super Saiyan 2, then the time skip happens, then Goku goes Super Saiyan 3, then Gotenks happens, and Gotenks goes Super Saiyan 3. Then they have the movies where Goku goes Super Saiyan... The Super Saiyan 4 in GT, where he turns back into an adult form and has a monkey tail. And then there's Super Saiyan God that happens in Super Saiyan, one of the movies, Battle of the Gods. And then there's a different version. Yeah, it's...
Jesus Christ.
To be fair, to go Super Saiyan God, I think you need like 5 Saiyans or something.
Whoosh.
Yeah, do you not watch DBZ, my dude?
I watched DBZ when I was 7.
Oh, yeah, no, you missed out on probably Super Saiyan 3.
Yeah, no, I think I caught that.
Yeah, you gotta remember, Super Saiyan 3 makes the world shake.
I've at least seen that clip where he screams for 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm aware of how the Dragon Ball works, where he starts screaming and then 3 episodes later finishes the transformation.
Exactly. And it's like, it's similar to this, where it's just like, they keep, like... They've got to up the stakes.
Yeah.
I will admit, like, some of it gets really dumb, like, where they keep upping the stakes, and I feel like they may have, like, just... Like, for me, I didn't think that Demon Mum needed the hostage. Needed Torkel.
I mean, it adds a little bit more.
I was just, they only wanted to bring back Torkel, and that's it.
It adds a bit of drama of, like, they need a reason not to just shoot her with the demon annihilating gun instantly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's just how do you prevent them from blasting her, and that's an excuse.
Why didn't they take Rangi hostage?
You know, that would have been one good solution.
Yeah, like, Rangi is, like, unable to be interacted with by most things except a demon.
Also
so
true.
Rangi is being a hostage would probably be better because...
give him his heroic moment.
Yeah, give him his heroic moment. Howard probably would have, like, not wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
And, like, Molly would have probably been convinced, like, been like, what's going on? Mm. And Torkel didn't need to be brought back as a hostage and her head immediately ripped off. I don't know whether
instantly
or not...
Instantly taken out of the fight.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point of bringing her back if she's not in the fight except to watch her staple her own head back on?
Sequel?
Oh.
I mean, they're probably not, but you could get a sequel out of it.
Yeah, with that mid-credit sequence, you could probably get a sequel out of it. I will admit, I did like this film as a standalone movie, though.
It worked well. Yeah, I've seen plenty of movies that is enough, you know.
Yeah. Also, if you can, my favorite thing is that, like, if you continue watching, like, where, like, it's like them exterminating demons, you notice he goes to doing it with his bare hands.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, okay. No, he does. He stops wearing the gloves.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that. Sick.
Yeah. I thought that was a pretty cool, like, added bit where he's just, like, moved.
Showing him getting better.
Yeah.
Efficient.
Because as it stands, he was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but your sister's soul tasted good.
That was a little bit fucked up. I don't know why that was said.
Because, like, I was expecting it to be, like, you know, part of the reason is that he's actually also, like, part demon because of his mum. And then it didn't happen. But I was like, oh, okay.
I know. I thought, like, his mum wasn't actually... It's not like she was born a demon.
No.
I don't know why she was 3D printed as... Satan, but
I don't know whether or not that's the demon that got to her, though, because it's like
that's what I was thinking. Like, she was possessed at some point by a demon,
yeah,
or the 3D printer just prints your soul into a form that's like fitting of your soul or some bullshit.
I think it's probably that one,
yeah, which is why Torkel comes out green,
yeah, bluish. I thought it was just like a physical manifestation of the necromancer magic.
Ah, that also makes sense.
Yeah, that's why I didn't have an issue with her being printed and being blue.
It just seems so weird. Like, just, oh, okay, so you need to be put in makeup for 4 hours from now on. Cool.
Yeah, the only issue that I... Part of the issue that I had, but then it was, like, solved pretty quickly, was that Torkel comes back and it's like, she's got all the solutions.
Yeah.
And I didn't... I was like, oh, no, if this fan. Is how it ends, I'm not going to be a huge fan. But no, it fails. So, yeah. And it was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So, like, you know, the plans are still failing. The protagonists aren't just going to roll.
There's still 20 minutes of screen time.
Yeah, they're not just going to steamroll them. So that's good. I enjoyed that bit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're fuck-ups. They can never really steamroll them.
Yeah, exactly. They're just a bunch of fuck-ups.
Yeah, they got to fail at some point. Otherwise, it's going to be super out of left field.
Yeah.
How do you have the guy who decided fuck that when he saw a ghost for the first time?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what the fuck?
I love that when they see the necropod and they're just like, okay, so what we're going to do is this, and they run down the plan, and he just goes, nope, didn't get any of that, fuck that, you're asking me to do something 6 hours ago, I thought I was just a regular guy, and now you're asking me to go deal with something that is literally quite possibly the scariest thing I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I had to agree with him at that point. I'm like, yeah, man, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, although, I mean, his part in that plan was probably the easiest if it had all worked out properly.
Yeah, he just activates the thumper.
Just push the button. That was it. Like, come on, man. Push the button and don't blow your ears off. Easy.
Yeah, but...
Randy has to come in there and be like, oh, shit, what's up? I'm here to ruin the plan because I'm actually a ghost on the bad guy's side.
I'm a double agent.
Double agent. He's the one who's resurrected the demon company 1 year later, which I was a little bit thrown off by that, where they kill off the big bad and like end their plans, and then it cuts to the 1 year later, and the necropods are still up, just running.
Yeah.
the app's still good, people are playing it, no problem, they're out having to hunt people. I thought that shit would have got shut down. Like, I mean,
it's a big company, and they did have multiple people working for it.
Yeah, I know, it just seems like if you're going to go after, if that's going to be the plot, Finnegan just seems so low tier at that point. Like, you gotta go after the corporation. You gotta end that. Like, what are they doing going after individual demons when there's people printing them nonstop?
It's like one of those ones where, like, you cut off the head and then, like, two more take its place.
Hail Hydra.
Or, like, you know, you just cut off your head and there's a vice president of the company. So they take over. Like, she had an assistant. I'm pretty sure he didn't die.
True. Got that whole board of directors wearing their Christmas hats. From it, I thought, oh, is this a Christmas movie? Oh, no, it's not. Not at all. Cool.
The other thing I liked about that was later on when they're all demons, you see them wearing their Christmas hats.
They're so happy. How can you kill a guy wearing a Santa hat, even if he's a demon?
Exactly.
He seems so generous and so...
so kind to his fellow man.
Yeah, exactly. Such a benevolent demon.
Gotta respect the Christmas hats.
Yeah, man. Of course. Good God.
But yeah, that's what I mean about this film being like, being camp and just bizarre. But I love it because I think it worked. Like, her making them wear the Christmas hats is just like,
you're not wearing your Christmas hat. Yeah, I think it definitely shows that people like this movie, and you can tell this because I love how the IMDb rating and Metacritic ratings can be so different.
Yeah.
So Metacritic, it's a score of 25.
Yeah.
Whereas IMDb, it's 5.3.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's a cult film.
Yeah. And there's, 700 ratings on this. And I'm scrolling through. The ones that people said were most helpful are all 7, 8, 9, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Like, they're highly... Yeah, people agree with the highly rated ones. So I can see that, like, it's not a critic film.
No.
It's the kind of... Yeah, exactly. It's the kind of stuff that you're like, oh, this film's fun. It is pretty fun.
Yeah, I think it won some awards at Toronto Film Festival.
Okay.
I think it was like Toronto After Dark or something.
Okay, that makes sense. The kind of stuff that you see Father's Day at.
Yeah, except and like an actually good film.
Ouch.
Father's Day was so...
Slow, but fantastic in the end.
Also, can I just... point out where the fucking they started playing I Love You Baby.
Please.
That came out so out of left field.
Where did that come up again?
It came up when like they were going through the office building just piling through them.
Oh yeah. But I mean, come on, that's like that reminds me a lot of the final act of Kick-Ass with Hit Girl. It reminded me a lot of that for some reason, where it's just going through an office block, twin pistols shooting through a dozen dudes. You know, while you've got dope-ass bangers playing in the background, just...
Yeah, no, I get that, but it's just, I found it bizarre.
Fair.
I was just like, what?
My favorite, the best example of, like, weird song coming out of nowhere is, have you seen It Chapter 2?
No.
Okay, that comes out of, that people who've seen that movie know immediately what I'm talking about, where there's just, for no reason... A certain song blasts out while someone's getting, like, vomited on profusely. It's weird.
Yeah, Necromancer appeared at...
Necrotronic?
Necrotronic appeared at the Toronto International Film Festival.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah, which I think is pretty impressive, like...
I mean, that's a big one.
Yeah, so...
Toronto's where they make the movies.
Yeah, Toronto is where they make the movies.
Not this one. Sydney. Which I kind of want to show this to some of our friends in Sydney to see if they recognize a lot of that, like, cityscape.
Set. Yeah.
Because it seems like it would be pretty distinctive, but to me it just looks like generic city because I've never been to Sydney.
Never?
Personally, no. I've been to Queensland, but not, like, Sydney, no. Like, for me, I've only been to border towns in New South Wales. It's basically flyover to me.
Oh, really? That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Necrotronic premiered last year at the Toronto International Film Festival. And it's Screen Australia supported.
Fuck yeah.
You know what? Good on the Australian government.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
I love them funding cool Australian projects.
Yeah. Fund us, please.
Give me money.
I need money.
I am poor.
You know, I really did enjoy this film, though.
I honestly do put pretty, like, I've shat on it a bit, but I did enjoy what I got out of it. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, like, it looked and sounded so much better than some of the films we've done lately.
Oh.
I'm just glad to be out of Shocktober, because we are scraping the bottom of the barrel
Shocktember.
Now.
Shocktember.
Shocktember, sorry.
This is Spooktober.
Spooktober, sorry. Because, Jesus Christ, yes, we are scraping the bottom of the barrel on shark movies. They're getting... We started off so strong, Alex.
Yeah.
We started off so strong.
Yeah, I know.
We had Jaws last year.
Yeah, we also had The Meg.
We had Shark Tale. We had The Meg. It was going so well. Yeah. And this year, we had Two-Headed Shark Attack.
And Shark and Tall Women's Prison Massacre.
Shark and Tall Women's Prison Massacre. It's just not as good.
1v1 me in the car park, Carl.
Hungry Jack's car park after school.
All right.
I think we're going to wrap up about here.
Yeah, we're going to go fight.
Yeah. So next week, we're going to be off because Alex is out at PAX for the week.
The weekend, so
yep.
I won't have time to watch anything.
So, you know, if you're free this weekend, if you can, get down to PAX and just bother him. He's volunteering there.
Please don't.
So, you know, just give him a whole bunch of hard times. Just make sure, like, he has to do his, you know, go down and make sure he's doing his job. You know, whatever that may be, you know, organizing lines and enforcing there.
This episode's not even going to be out on time.
No, dude, it'll probably be out tonight.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man.
Fair cop, then.
I'm on it. I get these out as quick as possible. I'll be editing this as soon as we're done.
Oh, how would you do that?
Yep. So we're closing next week, but you can join us the week after for what we will probably talk about later on.
Yeah.
And we'll see you all then.